Sat Nam. I'm Guru Pakarmakar. Guru Singh and I are appreciative of your vital role on this planet in an ever-growing global community. For it is your willingness to be here and listen that calls forth wisdom, that activates our collective voice in service. Your questions bring forth the answers. For a wealth of information about who we are and what we do, please visit gurusingh.com. Bless you.
You got a lot of nerve is one of the best compliments that you can ever have. You got a lot of nerve. And another great compliment is you got a lot of gall. Because if you got a lot of gall, which is the heat from your liver gallbladder connection, and that will create the impulse. And then, when you've got a lot of nerve, that is able to sustain the impulse. And what that impulse is the impulse of being the self. The impulse of being like someone else takes no gall at all. To copy, to mimic, is something that we learn to do as small children. And if our guidance as small children is sufficiently selfless, meaning not requiring you to be just like me in order for me to comprehend you, but wanting you to be just like you so that even though I don't comprehend it, I'm inspired by it. This is the marker of parenting, to know how much guidance and how much liberty. This is also the role of any teacher, to know how much guidance and how much liberty. The attitude of the old school was no liberty, all guidance. Because the concern was, and I can put it into even more dramatic terms, the fear was that liberty would create distortion. But the reality is that every moment is a distortion of the previous moment. And so growth is a process of distortion within the ocean of love, not controlled by fear. Distortion of this portion within the ocean of love, enabled by joy, will create a calm and shanti, peace, shanti, 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 peace, peace, peace. Because then every individual is being fulfilled as a portion of the collective. And that takes a lot of nerve. And you gotta have a lot of gall. In other words, you have to have that fire in your belly, that fire of the womb, the fire of the womb, man, the future that is reaching down into now, which is what the word woman means, the future that is reaching down into now to draw it into its presence, so that it can present it in the moment of the new now. And the new now is every moment, every beat of the heart, is the new now. And if the new now is exactly like the old now, and that takes place for a period of time, then instead of a spiraling upward ascension, it becomes a circle which will lose its momentum and eventually become a descension into devolution, which is where the word devil comes from. Devil comes from the word devolution, which means that fear has caused the ascension to cease. And in the moments when the ascension ceases, there is no peace. And everything is blown to pieces. I'm just finding all kinds of good rhymes within these moments and these times. But I'll tell you quite clearly, it all takes a lot of nerve. And it all takes a lot of gall. You have to step outside the comfort zone and learn to be extremely comfortable in your unfamiliar discomfort. You have to form a new attitude towards discomfort until you have formed it into discomfort is comfort. Discomfort is cozy. Because that is the only way in which change can take place. And the change that we are talking about is that upward ascending spiral in which we are continuously welcoming the new moment. And the process of welcoming the new moment is called momentum. And as a other expression, it is momentous. And when you are in the midst of momentous momentum, that is the birthplace of phenomenon. And that is where every great master and mystic discovered their purpose. A great example is Joan of Arc, back in the Middle Ages. She discovered her purpose in the momentous nature of her momentum. And she had to conceal her identity, her identity. And we have to do the same thing going forward. This is no longer the time of an iconic, singular leader. This is no longer the time of, oh my God, so-and-so is so great. This is the time of gathering around whoever the so-and-so is, because that so-and-so enables you to experience your own greatness, not theirs. And then we all become like those kittens around the mama. When they're first born, they are blind. And when we gather around that sacred mama, we are blind to the greatness that can be. And so we hold that sacred mama. Ma, and we inhale the sacred truth, which means life. That sa, and then we express that incredible exuberance, ya, which comes through the crown, ho. and brings in the universal mind, wah. That's what we were chanting. And that is literally the dance of tension, pressure, stress, and friction, utilizing the inertia of ease, joy, knowing, and liberation. And when we begin to accommodate that dance, we recognize that that dance is not our dance. That dance is the universal dance. We are just mimicking the universal dance, and then the universe begins to carry us. We no longer have to do the heavy lifting. The universe does the heavy lifting for us. This is momentum. This is momentous. This is phenomenon. And this science is phenomenology. And it takes a lot of nerve. It takes a lot of nerve. Because what we are looking to do is to create that gate, that temple gate, that every time you stand up, you're standing on the temple gate. You're standing with the temple gate. And when you recognize that stance, you stand up, you start walking, you stand up, you start communicating, your stance is in that temple, which is all of what you're using above that gate. That gate holds the temple of you. And that's when you can be that ma, sa, yaho, wa. That's when you can be that. And what it comes from is it comes from the acceptance that even though you may not know exactly what it is, you have purpose, which is the top of the gate. Walk forward not knowing what your purpose is. That takes a lot of nerve. That takes a lot of gall. Somebody says, well, what is your purpose? And you can say honestly, I'm getting there. Don't know exactly what it is. Don't know exactly how it is. Don't know exactly when it is. But I do know exactly why it is. And the why of living in purpose, living on purpose, is that in that temple gate, the crossing of that temple gate is purpose, and everything that lives above purpose is then able to be alive. So I am living on purpose. You are living on purpose in these moments. And we are enabling ourselves to be alive, which means that we will bring peace, and we will bring calm, and we will bring joy, and we will bring love to the realms and arenas and places and spaces all around us. And that may not be our ultimate purpose, but by golly gee, that is a good purpose in between. Because if we enable peace, joy, calm to prevail, if we enable love, peace, joy, and calm to exist in our presence, then not only are we on our way to being on purpose, but we allow everyone else, particularly the children, to begin to find purpose. We have been refusing to allow children to find purpose for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. We do not have anything close to what could be called education in this world. Only in a few spots is there such a thing as education. The majority of what is known as education all the way through the universities is just training. Training life to hook up to the collars and leashes of that consuming enslavement that is stripping this planet of the resources that are needed. You know, let me ask you this before we close this portion of our gathering. If you were to have a living being, and that living being had all of these body parts, as all living beings do, and you began to extract portions of some of these body parts, how long do you think that living being would allow you to do that? Because you would be getting very close to extracting some vital portions of that living being. Think of the planet Earth, because it is a living being. We're just colonies of fleas that are existing on the body of the Earth. We're just parasites living on the Earth. And it's okay to be a flea on the body of the Earth. But if we were to start extracting too much of the life force of that body of the Earth, the body of the Earth would have to refuse our cohabitation. And those are the warning signs that we are getting. And so it takes a lot of nerve to go against the system of false prosperity. The system of false prosperity that says, have a new four-wheeled vehicle every 3 years. Extract all of the gold and all of the silver and turn it into trinkets. Extract all of the iron ore and turn it into steel. Extract all of the sand and turn it into cement. Destroy all of the topsoil and replace it with chemistry. And then serve food that isn't food and water that is not really water. And air that is no longer truly clean enough to sustain us. We have to have a lot of nerve. We have to have a lot of gall. And we have to be invisible to that which we are going to reduce in momentum. This may not be our purpose, but it is the reason for the next few decades. We need to turn this ship around and create a planetary garden of Eden, truly heaven on earth. So that children can grow into their maturity without the insecurity that is so prevalent today. So pick up your journal. begin making your notes. How are you going to work with this today? How are you going to work with it this week? How are you going to work with it this moon cycle, this revolution of the moon?
Bless you for joining us. Visit GuruSingh.com for an ever-expanding archive of lectures, videos, yoga sets, meditations, and more.